This podcast contains explicit language.
Hello to our three fans, Carlos here. This is just a little disclaimer talking about the release schedule for Two Fat Guys Talk Games. I have rejoined the full-time workforce and thus cannot dedicate as much time to editing. However, I intend to continue editing this podcast, and Dave and our friends continue to express interest in being on the show, because we all have a blast with it, and it also works into my plans for eventual world domination. So while you'll see these come out less frequently, rest assured they will continue to come out. With that said, enjoy.
This is Carlos.
David is not there.
This is Carlos! And this is Dave! Two Fat Guys Talk Games and Friends! Yay!
And friends!
Yeah. It's been a little while since a podcast has been out, since I have a full-time job again, and we've all been busy and shit. But, yeah, let's do another podcast roundtable. Let's introduce the players. There's me, Carlos. Bonjour! There's Kiki, the girl.
It's good to be here.
Yes, good work. There's,
an airplane, I guess.
There's, and by that noise, we've just been joined by the other fat man, who totally was on before, voicing himself, Dave.
Yep.
There we go. And then we have Richard.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got salt in pants.
Yes. Good work.
That's happened.
We had two other friends we wanted to join us, but Poe is unfortunately, he is taunting the United States to attack the Alberta oil sands, and totally not just muted, listening to us talk right now while he watches fighting game streams. And Ike is on Skype, but not responding to our calls. So it's just going to be the four of us.
I still think he's taking a big poop.
He might be taking a giant poo. You never know. All right, podcasting round table. And we're going to start with Kiki. Go.
Good characters you dislike, or terrible characters you do like, or in between. Well, does anyone have a good example, actually, of any character that they like?
No, start us off.
This is your topic, Kiki, so you got to start us off.
Yeah, right? Okay, fine. Shoot, I had a good character, too. Well, a character that really shouldn't like, but I do, is fucking...
Wah, wah.
Okay.
Ba-ba-ba-dum.
Yes, right here. Until she gets that. Characters that are good, but you don't like. You know what? I'm going to come out and say it. I've been kind of looking at Mortal Kombat recently. Everybody and their mother loves Scorpion. Am I the only one who really doesn't care about him at all? I don't really care for Scorpion. I'm more of a Sub-Zero guy. I don't really care for Scorpion. Never have. Probably never will. Not as a character, as a fighter, just as a character. Just, I don't care.
He's always been this mindless hellspawn, but very much one of the faces of the franchise, regardless.
Right, that's why I mentioned him. It's like, he's like a big deal for everybody who likes Mortal Kombat, but I don't give two shits.
I think the reason is because, since Mortal Kombat is stylized Asia, and he's a violent, undead zombie ninja, he kind of personifies what it's all about. I have a character that is a terrible, horrendously designed character, but I begrudgingly love, and that's one Mr. Akuma Callahan Smith. Akuma, popular Street Fighter. Capcom wanks all over this guy about how he's the master of the fist and the strongest fighter in the Quadroon universe or whatnot. And he is just so terribly made, and his formidability is so much a function of exposition and terrible writing by overpaid Japanese writers. But there's something about him I just love. He's such a cocky asshole, and I want him to have a motorcycle. And that's the character that
you want everybody to have a motorcycle.
I do want everyone to have a motorcycle. This is true. What is it with me and bikes?
I don't know. You wanted to see Link on a motorcycle once, and then I gave you that idea about Link on a motorcycle using dual hook shots to get around, and you were like, make this game happen.
I'm not sure I could ever play that game, because I would be in a constant state of ejaculation whilst playing it.
It would probably be better than any Zelda game that's coming out recently.
it would be better. I would play that. Oh, and if it was a 2D side-scrolling Zelda 2-esque engine, I would be in a constant state of... Shit, I used ejaculation. What's even better than ejaculation?
Butt rape.
Butt rape.
Butt rape, yes. By your own ejaculation.
That's right. It would be so, like sucking my own penis. Anywho, next.
Here we go.
Who else has characters?
To the topic. Did you think of your guy, Kiki?
No, and then I realized I muted myself by accident, and then that... Yeah, I haven't thought of it, and I... Fuck.
I'd like to hear from Dave.
No one else likes. Go ahead, David, please.
Really bad character that I did like, Tidus from Final Fantasy X.
Was he that bad, though?
Actually, you know what? It is pretty arguable how bad of a character Tidus is.
He whined a lot.
I'm actually going to go even further and say just the main cast of Final Fantasy X. I mean, on one hand, I like the characters. On the other hand, they were pretty fucking bad. I mean, Waka, seriously?
Is that your whole argument, Waka? Seriously?
You know what? I kind of have to sit here and I need to think of a proper rebuttal that is going to completely, utterly destroy this. Because when I was playing it, I thought that the cast was one of the stronger elements of 10. Let me see. I guess it's because if I had to come up with an answer on the spot, it's because as some would say cheesy the characters in 10 were, I would say that it was actually a little bit more personable and down to earth compared to characters like from 7 or 9 and stuff like that.
Like, don't get me wrong, I like these characters. I really did. But the whole reason I liked them was because of what they did throughout the game. But as characters on their own, they were pretty damn weak. I mean, the characters' whole why they were there and what they were doing, the strongest one was... crap, what's her name? Yuna? No.
You are seriously...
Auron?
Yeah, it's not a her that was the strongest character there. It was a he, and his name was Auron.
Oh, Auron was awesome, don't get me wrong. I'm just... Yeah, no, as much as I like the game, I think it was a weak character.
You know, in general, Squall has been noted as a good character, but so many people fucking dislike this guy, and...
They dislike him because he's constantly always compared to Cloud, which is the fan favorite.
Yeah, but Cloud is the exact opposite. I don't see how he was a really good character. I can see why, but so many fucking people like him, and it's ridiculous.
I am definitely in the Final Fantasy VII is overrated garbage camp, but I get Cloud's character. Basically, they set out to take a dude and just kind of make his life hell. And Cloud kind of acts like he's tired. Like, even though Advent Children was garbage as all hell, I kind of bought Cloud's motivations in it. I kind of bought that he wanted to stay away from society and just kind of do things without being bothered by that nag he didn't actually want in the first place. You know, I get this. And that movie would have been a lot better if those were the themes explored, not, shit, man, how many buildings can this one sword swipe take out? However, if it explored that and Cloud's motivations, that would have been even better.
Okay. I mean, Cloud is a character that you've actually gotten me to sort of move what I think about the character. I never really bought his whole, what I characterize as an emo persona. You've sort of gotten me around to believing his motivation.
I think Tidus is a much bigger emo than Cloud. And I don't even think Tidus is an emo, but he definitely whines about more shit he shouldn't be whining about. Like, Tidus is like, my dad didn't love me. And Cloud is like, my family was killed by a madman who then tried to destroy my planet and took my identity. And Tidus is like, oh, well, shit. I'm a little bitch, aren't I?
But Cloud took somebody else's identity.
Yeah, after that guy died. And after Cloud's own mind was all messed the fuck up. Why am I defending Cloud?
Because you love him.
I love him. Are we good on the character topic?
Yeah, I'm going to punch myself later.
For what?
Because I can't remember.
Okay, you know what? If you remember during the cast, we'll bring it up again. It's fine. Next on the docket is Richard.
Oh, you mean my topic?
Zeke, you're up.
Okay, my topic was ideas that were really good ideas in terms of what they would do for games, but when they were applied to said game, they actually ended up being kind of shit.
Are we talking plot or mechanic?
Mechanics. I'm talking mechanics. Like, well, games that are designed around, generally, games designed around a mechanic that is meant to carry it through.
Truth be told, this topic could apply to narrative as well. You can have a strong narrative idea that is just implemented really, really badly.
That's true.
Start us off. Give us an example.
The one that comes straight off the top of my head, and maybe it's not necessarily due to design, but due to a false promise. An MMO called Ion, one of its main features that it was advertised of having was that you could fly anywhere. When you play the game, this blatantly is not true. When you think about it, flying at any time in a given point in an MMO and being able to fight in midair and do everything else in midair, basically do everything on the ground in Z space, sounds like it would be a pretty good mechanic for a game. It sounds like, you know, oh, you could do some interesting things with this if you did it right. Well, very rarely did you find areas in this game, and I played it for about a year or two, so I got close enough to the level cap that I could, you know, see this feature for myself and say, you know what? This was either a blatant lie or very horribly implemented. Not only could you not fly indefinitely, you had a timer that you had to use up to fly. You couldn't fly anywhere, and most of the time you had to keep your wings in, which, you know, kind of killed the point of a game that basically said fly anywhere. I was like, and I just kept thinking, the possibilities of what you could have done with this probably would have been a lot better than what it ended up being. I don't know. I was just kind of disappointed by this fact that this happened to this game.
I can think of lost my train of thought completely. I can't think of anything. Continue.
Games that had good ideas, but did them pretty bad. Let's say 3DS. There is probably some games in there that
Pinterest?
Well, yeah.
That's a perfect example of this whole topic.
You can't have that topic without Kid Icarus.
Probably not. Nope, Kid Icarus.
That was supposed to be a Wii game, where you move with the nunchuck and aim with the Wiimote. It would have been only the fifth Wii game worth owning. Great idea. Here's how you ruin it. Put it on a fucking 3DS.
I didn't even know it was supposed to be on the Wii.
It was.
Yeah,
you were gonna...
Carlos wanted it. That's even more special.
Yeah. It was going to be you move Pit with the nunchuck, and then you use your Wiimote to aim and fire dynamically in a real-time environment.
That would have been fun.
That would have been awesome as shit, and that's how the game works. But you got to use the stand, you got to aim with the stylus. It's imprecise and stupid. A good idea, ruined.
It reminds me of Skyward Sword, where I never thought it was a good idea, but some people thought, you know, swinging the sword as your Link was a good idea, but I don't think that worked very well at all, personally.
I was going to actually mention Skyward Sword.
Pardon?
Sorry, go on.
Richie, say that again?
Oh, I thought that David said that it was a good idea. I was going to let him explain.
I think it was.
Okay.
I just didn't like it. I just thought it was, I don't want to say easier, but it kind of was easier just to press buttons. I think maybe if it responded a lot better.
I was about to say, it worked when you pressed buttons.
If it responded a lot better, because that's what I'm having difficulty with. I'm just like, I think the response time for swinging the sword is not as well as it could have been, even with the Wii Motion Plus that it needs or whatever.
That's because that game is trash and could have easily been on a controller.
Stood by Nintendo throughout Skyward Sword's development, saying like, oh man, this is going to be great, this is going to be great. You know, I hadn't played a Zelda game yet that had disappointed me as much as Skyward Sword did when I played it. And I was like, wow, you know, you take away the motion controls and you have a really solid Zelda game here, but there is no alternative for controlling this game. So therefore, I have to put up with the bad to enjoy the good. So, it's really hard to judge this game based solely on its merits as a Zelda game, when control, which has never been a problem for a Zelda game, is now the main problem.
The whole Wii is a good idea done badly. Here's a good idea. Motion control. Here's a bad idea. Mandatory motion control.
You know what you could also say? Pretty much every game for the Kinect, save for Kinect Sports, Dance Central, and Child of Eden, are good ideas done poorly. Those are the only games I could possibly think of that were received pretty well on Kinect. Everything else, I've not heard anything received well.
Child of Eden, at least, can be played on a controller if you so desire.
Yes, it can. It can. But which it feels Skyward a lot better Sword to play with done. Kinect, actually.
Bah, bad ideas.
I played both.
I have an RPG general mechanic that seems like a good idea on paper, but when implemented leads to kind of dry, drab character design. And that's any game, like Final Fantasy VII, or even my beloved Final Fantasy VI, it does this too, or VIII even, where you can customize your characters so much that the only difference between them is the way they look.
Or the super.
Yeah, that does kind of suck.
Yeah, or their limit break / super / whatever. Like, it's interesting to customize your party, but here's the thing. In Final Fantasy I, you pick the classes for all four of your guys. So you were kind of making four of your own dudes. But that's very different when the game presents you a template. And that template suddenly has that openness and loses its identity in a game where even mechanically, each character is supposed to have an identity. I really like the way Breath of Fire 3 and 4 did this, where characters have their own movesets, but they also have 10 move slots that you can customize. So they have their own list of moves and a side list of moves that you get to choose. So every character is unique and partially kind of configurable to your needs and tastes. But when you can do that with everyone completely, you know, like Cloud and Red 13 are effectively the same dude, but with different hit point values and limit breaks. And same thing with Terra and Celeste. You know, it's not something I enjoy. It's a good idea on paper. It doesn't end up well in a game with set characters.
Would you say the same for, like, Phantasy Star Online? Because for the original Phantasy Star Online, you have Hunters, Rangers, and Forces. You have each in their own, like, little classes within themselves, like a hunter male, a hunter elf female, etc., etc. And they each have their own stats and quirks and all, like, their abilities. Some are better with whatever weapons and whatnot. But in PSO2, basically, a hunter is a hunter is a hunter.
But the thing, though, in PSO is you're making your own guy. It's not like, say, Phantasy Star 4, where Chaz was a hunter, quote-unquote, with heavy force tendencies. Like, you can't customize him other than to change up his gear. He is a scrapper who can also mix it up as a spellcaster. That is who he is. That is his identity. Like, when you look at Rika, she's a little more nimble, but she's less good overall as he is, even though she has access to a few tools that he doesn't. She's her own character, and I'm not just talking storyline. Mechanically, she is very identifiable. Even if that game had the Breath of Fire 3/4 system where you can add some custom moves to your guys, it wouldn't change who they are. And it would be very different than if in Phantasy Star 4, you could just make your own party of completely built from the ground up guys. Then that would be different. In PSO, you're making your avatar to play the way you want. So having the customization there is okay. At least to me, anyway.
So you're basically talking what you see is what you get versus traditional make your avatar your idea of a character.
I think if a game gives you a character, that character has to have more identity than just the way they look. So Squall can't just be an empty template for you to do whatever you want. He is Squall. In the narrative, he's very distinct and unique. And even in combat, he is visually a unique, distinct entity, right? So He has to kind of have abilities that reflect this, and he doesn't. He only has the abilities you want him to have.
I agree. Now I see where it's coming from. It's starting to make sense. He's basically saying that there is a time for characters that are basically templates for you to make your own stats and make your own character out of. But when the tone of a game is set up from the beginning that this character is this, like if Squall is supposed to be Sword Fighter X guy, then he should not have the ability to do certain things that his character wouldn't be able to do narratively.
Yes, that's just
gotcha.
It. Like,
I get it.
Okay. Squall had more mechanical identity in Dissidia. because he controls in a very unique, distinct way that is his.
Yes.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I get this. Okay. That is actually a really valid point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. More good ideas gone bad. Girls gone wild. Good ideas gone wild. Flashing their boobs at the cameras while Snoop Dogg gets into the action.
Good ideas gone wild?
Yeah.
Time compression?
Time compression. So, here's the Someone thing about time compression. Someone had to
mention it. Time compression.
Time compression is not a good idea already.
Oh, it is.
Like, do you know what I want? I want Monday to be Saturday today. Good idea.
Well, I want Tuesday to be today, right now.
And it is. Time compression.
Woo! Diablo 3!
Yes. The only problem is this, Dave. I'm already playing Diablo 4.
Damn it!
Yesterday.
And Diablo 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 all at the same time!
That's right.
In 2 weeks.
Someone's my holding out on me, bitches.
My horrible, barbarian, monk, superfly amalgamation yearns for death across all these games. Bad ideas that are still bad. Next up is me. I'm third on the list. So, what the hell was my topic again? Oh, snap. I had it. I had it and I forgot it.
Oh, you're
no.
pulling Kiki.
Hang on. I'm going to meditate for several hours. One moment.
All right.
Time compression. Get on with it, bitch.
Yeah, right.
Hang on. I had one. I'm just fishing it out of the annals of my mind.
I'll go ahead if you want.
Yeah, let's do that if you have one already.
Movie to video game adaptations. The horror and the awesomeness. Horror. Anything with the Spider-Man title other than Spider-Man 2. Awesome, Spider-Man 2. And reason being, Spider-Man was an interesting conundrum in how they did things. They grew and they petrified what was good in later games. One was just sort of your basic movie adaptation. Nobody really gave a damn. It was a cash-in. They really just didn't do anything with it. You were playing the movie, and a pretty bad one at that. Not the movie. I liked the movie, the game. Spider-Man 2. I actually enjoyed the movie Spider-Man 2. So did a lot of people. It was before it went totally down. It went before it was totally downhill for the series. But the game was fantastic. They decided to go more sandboxy. You were still playing the movie. But they added in a whole bunch of stuff to make the game unique and fun, including adding in Black Cat and a whole bunch of the classic Spider-Man villains that you had to defeat within still the guidelines of the movie. It was very much Grand Theft Auto-ish, and it just worked perfectly for a Spider-Man game. Then you get 3, and I'm just going to end there by saying shit.
No, 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 no. You have to explain why it's shit.
Okay. Fine. That's rather easy. Emo Peter Parker. The end. Done.
No, no, wait a minute.
That's the
game was bad because of Emo
Peter?
That's
actually not fair.
No, it is not fair.
I actually felt that the game managed to take Peter Parker's emo-ness to an all-time high. They still focus very much on the I'm a badass emo Peter Parker, and they seem to have focused the entire game around that idea mainly. What was fun in that game, though, is when you had the black suit and just how broken you were. I'll give it that kudo. But ultimately, I mean, I'm focusing on the Spider-Man series, but there are a lot of really, well, most video game adaptation or movie adaptations are shit. Look at the Street Fighter movie fighter game.
Actually, the one that was like Mortal Kombat?
How do you make that game was pretty badly renowned, right? Like, how do you make a movie based off a fighting game that is a fighting game that is somehow worse than the fighting game that the movie was based on?
They did it.
Like, let that soak in.
Man, I sure hope that happens to Skullgirls.
Right.
What, gets a movie?
It gets a movie and then a game based on the movie.
That is also the same genre of the game that spawned the movie and is worse than the original.
Felia is played by Michelle Rodriguez.
Double is played by Lindsay Lohan.
Oh shit.
Oh, yeah.
This movie.
I think she could make a good Double. She already kind of looks like Double.
Oh. That's so fucked up.
She already kind of talks like Double, too.
She did it to herself.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What do you guys think?
They don't even give her a script.
What are your examples of a really piss poor movie video game adaptation?
I'm interjecting Spider-Man topic.
Okay.
Everybody rides the Spider-Man 2 train. I really do enjoy Spider-Man 2. However, I do believe, personally for me, that despite everyone's supposed hatred for this game, Web of Shadows was a superior Spider-Man game.
Yeah, but Web of Shadows wasn't actually
an adaptation
of.
Oh, three. Yeah, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, let's keep it to the topic there,
buddy. Okay. Oh, that's right. I got really fucking emotional. Hold on. I still had something to say about Spider-Man 3, though, the movie game. Even though what you said about it was true, how it basically, you know, laid heavier on Peter Parker's emo-ness, the game mechanics in and of itself were just copypasta of Spider-Man 2. However, Spider-Man 3 was a much more rushed, buggy game than Spider-Man 2 was.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
That is the flaws I rate 3 against 2 on, and why 2 is still the superior game. 3 should have been the better game. In terms of pure gaming mechanics, fun level, and basic overall workiness of the game, it definitely should have been better than 2. But it seems like they rushed it, and you got piss poor product that didn't even... Like, you can take Spider-Man 2, take away the narrative of the movie, just have Spider-Man 2 as a game, and be like, this is a really good game. Like, everyone says it's the game based on the movie. No, it didn't have to be based on the movie to be a good game. 3, well, I don't know. Spider-Man 3 was kind of a mess. The extra characters that they added, the boss fights. I found many bugs during almost every boss fight that got me killed more often than not. I was like, what the hell? This never happened in Spider-Man 2. So, what gives? Treyarch. Treyarch is the one that made both 2 and 3. I was like, fuck.
I don't know if I ever mentioned this.
I will say, in every Spider-Man game got better. So from 2 to 3, actually 2, I mean 3's web swinging was actually more fun than 2's, only with the exception that they took out wall jumping. There was no point taking that out. Like,
I don't think I mentioned this on a podcast yet, but I always thought there should be, in the same vein as Spider-Man, a Knuckles Chaotix open world roaming city detective game, like the Spider-Man games, where Knuckles can go to the street level, buy a shawarma, and then glide up a building to the top of it so that he can solve the crime over at the bridge. Like Spider-Man, but Knuckles.
Fucking shawarma. Avengers. Go see it, people.
Selfless promotion. After the credits.
So, other games based off movies that are either really good or really bad. Most of them are shit, like you said. Like, I'm finding it hard to name a game based off of a movie that was good. Save for Spider-Man 2.
Batman on the NES by Sunsoft. Great game.
Oh, that reminds me. Batman Forever for the SNES.
Oh, yes. The one that had Mortal Kombat graphics and animations.
Yeah!
The angry video game nerd talked about it. He got very angry at it.
I don't know. That one just came up because I played it when I was a kid, like, a lot. And I used to think it was the best shit. And I played it when I got older, and I was like, what is this shit?
The SNES had so many games, so many good, so many bad. And there were quite a few motion-captured live-actor games trying to cash in on the Mortal Kombat craze for the SNES, and a lot of them were just horrible.
I didn't play too many of the movie-based games, so I do know that a lot of them were terrible, though. I just haven't really played them.
I can give another 2 examples off the top of my head.
Go for it.
Wing Commander, and...
Mic's coming in bubbly.
I had a second one, but it just sort of left my mind.
You're underwater and bubbly.
Me?
You.
Yep.
Hello.
There we go.
That's better.
I didn't change anything.
Underwater and bubbly
again. Underwater again.
I just barely heard that. That's good.
You're good.
Let's just move where the mic was. Okay, so Wing Commander.
Bubbly.
Absolutely
underwater.
Awesome game series.
Underwater.
Underwater. Can barely hear you.
Six.
Just wire the mic into your tooth.
Right in there.
How about now?
Good.
You're good, but okay. The real litmus test will be when you say your first 2 words.
So, really, really piss poor game?
Underwater.
Underwater, bubbly.
Hang on, switching mics.
Oh, here comes the noises. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm so scared.
Was the Superman game based off of a superhero movie?
Superman Returns was.
The Superman 64.
Yeah, it was based off the cartoon.
Oh, God. Okay. Superman 64.
Gotcha.
All I gotta say is why?
It had the same art style as the Bruce Timm Superman animated show. And then Superman Returns was based off the movie, but that game had a novel idea, and that was that Superman couldn't die, but the city could, and you had to make sure the city didn't get wrecked, which is very Superman-esque.
Do you say that was a good idea that was not implemented well?
I would say it was a good idea in a game that was just kind of ho-hum, but not necessarily because of that idea.
Gotcha.
The final boss was like a tornado or something. It was really weird.
Okay.
Friend of the show, Shane, loved it because he's a big Superman Superman fan. So
I still can't think of my character that I was thinking hardcore about. This makes me kind of very sad.
I can hear the Skype noises in the background of Dave trying to fix his problem.
Oh, no.
Fixing
his market.
Yo, there was a guy named Dave. He had mic troubles. What a babe. And then he came on and started talking smack. Went back into the cave. Don't you know Jack? Talking about his games, movie adaptations. To all the boys and girls in all of the nations.
What?
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
I'm assuming that was Steven.
I'm back.
Okay.
Hello.
So I'm underwater now?
Yes.
You are so much more underwater than you were before.
Seriously?
Okay, now you're clear.
That statement was fine. Are you trying to bathe and do the podcast at the same time?
Not at all.
Still, are you lying?
No.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that myself.
So, still not good?
No, man. There's something wrong. You're still bubbling up. Like, it's distorted and not decipherable.
Well, decipherable enough that we can understand, but...
Well, we can understand shit like, is it good now, but not whatever the hell game you were talking about. So, why don't we do this? While you're figuring that out, I'll name my topic. And I got a carrier pigeon from Poe, reminding me that I did have a similar topic to the one that Dave mentioned. And that was something like, movies that would make good games, or games that would make great movies. But that's too close to Dave's, so I'm scrapping it. And talking about something else entirely, the escort quest. Any genre, any game, the best, the worst escort quests.
I don't think there was ever a good escort quest ever.
I can debunk that statement with two words. Would you like to hear those two words?
Yes.
Yoshi's Island.
Does that really consider as an escort quest?
The whole game was an escort in that case.
I understand.
You're escorting Mario to find Luigi. Escort quest.
What was
the whole game? Say again, Richie.
What did you say?
I said the whole. You were trying to escort Mario to find Luigi and to get them to the Mushroom Kingdom so that they can insert these two babies into their mother's vagina and have a natural childbirth.
That's disgusting.
That was the game.
What defines escort here? When I heard escort, I thought you meant escort quests in games that involve the player character, which is controlled by the player.
Yeah.
Having to protect or walk another NPC character to a given destination, usually while objects or enemies trying to destroy either you or the escort, and which you will lose at any time if you lose the escort's HP.
Yes.
Yeah, Yoshi's Island.
I thought that was the goal here. I see Yoshi's Island not as an escort quest in its entirety because that game has no health bar. When you get hit, Baby Mario flies into the air and you're supposed to pop his bubble to get him back onto your back. So, in that sense, you're not really hand-holding him throughout the game. It's just a game mechanic of how you not die.
No, dude, but that's the mechanic. The mechanic is based around escorting Mario. Because if Yoshi gets tagged by an enemy, he doesn't die. He's just knocked, Baby Mario is knocked off his back. And Yoshi himself is knocked away. And if he's hit by enemies while Baby Mario's off his back, he just gets sent flying back, making it harder to get him back. And Mario does have a health count, kind of, which is that timer. And if that runs out, he gets taken by the Toadies,
and bam, you totally lose a life. And Yoshi himself can actually die.
The first one that came to mind when he mentioned escort was in Twilight Princess, where you're on your horse and you have to escort that carriage to that one mountain time, or yes, town. Oh my god, I was just like, wow. It took me 2 tries, actually. The first time I was just like, damn it, I can't believe I fucking failed. The second time, though, I was just not messing around. Mind you, I was very, very bad at fighting enemies on my horse, so that probably didn't help me at all. But that was the first thing that came to mind, so that one I just didn't like at all.
Think of Escort Quest, I never think of Yoshi's Island. Yoshi's Island,
I don't know why. I'll tell you why. Because escort quests are traditionally seen as irritating, and Yoshi's Island was not.
I generally regard Yoshi's Island very highly, but I never, ever saw it as an escort quest.
You know what? It kind of could be. Like Carlos, you were describing, it does sound like the whole game is an escort quest.
Well, it's a much it's a very much better designed escort quest from every other genre on the face of the planet's idea of escort.
That's because they based the game around it. They're like, okay, the mechanic here is you gotta take this baby to the end of the level. Let's design the game intelligently around this. Whereas in other games, it's shoehorned in and not fun because your AI mission critical dude is dumb as shit and gets himself killed.
My worst escort quest in any game definitely has to be the...
Wow.
Well, no. I was going to say MMOs. MMOs was pretty much going to be any escort quest. They not only move slow and into danger, but they also don't help you or shit when it's time to fight, even if they can. Like, why do they got to take the path that goes right through fucking danger? Why can't they just follow you at the same speed that you run? What is so wrong with this? I don't understand. But before I get into that, I was going to say, the level before the final stage of Atlas's puzzle game, Catherine. Spoiler alert, you are supposed to, I won't name characters, but you are supposed to escort another character. Most of the game is a block-pulling adventure game. I got echo. Echo.
Yeah, I'm also getting echo.
Where's it coming from? Oh, it's gone.
Is it gone?
Yeah. The game is a puzzle block tower climbing game. It's an interesting mesh of action and puzzle. But the mission to the last mission of the story basically has you were once just going up the towers by yourself, but now you're actually in charge of making a tower for another character that's following behind you to crawl up with you. And this character has some of the worst AI I've ever seen that made this mission to last mission, I'm just going to call it pre-mission, the single most frustrating thing ever. The game was legitimately hard and very fun, but this level made me never want to play the game again. I was so infuriated by the fact that I've been playing this entire game, and I've been like, the puzzles were hard enough when I'm just trying to get myself up to the top of the tower. Now I got this guy, this girl, whatever the fuck. I want to be ambiguous for spoiler sake, but holy shit, like, this bitch, she never went anywhere. He just kept on doing this. Why didn't you just follow me? Go up the same steps that I do. Pull out the block, you jump up the block, and you follow me up the block. No, I'm going to take the long way around. So he goes all the way over here, and then she jumps up on the block, and he's like, what the hell? Why did you go all the way over there? I just pulled this block out for you. Some of the puzzle areas had you going, pulling out the blocks for them specifically, and they decide to go in the middle of Bumblefuck to climb up a block. You know, who designed that AI? Fire that person. Because that was the only thing that made that game somewhat derogatory in my mind. Because I don't play puzzle games, but Captain was pretty good. And that level ruined it, because you added a goddamn escort quest. And I understand that it was part of the puzzle. Like, this is now adding another element on top of the puzzle. But fuck you. Make it work. You know?
I thought of 2 other games. One, I know we talk about Final Fantasy VI a lot, but Protecting Bannon wasn't too hard. I remember the first time was kind of hard. The other part in Final Fantasy, I don't know if you would count this as an escort, but you know when you have to get to Celeste in that certain amount of time? Would that be kind of escort-ish? Because you have to get to her before Ultros drops the 6-ton weight on her? Yes, no, or is that just a time limit thing?
Kind of. Like, you weren't really escorting her as much as trying to intercept something from making her do her job. Because with Bannon, you actually had to escort Bannon to Narsh. It was pretty important that he got to Narsh. I don't know why it was important, because he's useless, but he had to get to Narsh. That was important. But the stupid thing is, the moment he got knocked out, it was game over. And why? I have Phoenix down right here. Just eat some feathers and get the fuck up, Bannon. Shut up.
And why, by that same thing, though, Carlos, why did Eris die?
Because she was...
That's a narrative event. Therefore, Phoenix down doesn't work.
In Phantasy Star Online, a lot of the solo quests are escort. Does anybody remember Mome? He fucking...
Yeah, that fat ass.
Fat ass Ramar is like, oh, don't worry, I'll get out of your way. Oh, shoot, I'm getting hurt. I'll just... The thankful fucking thing about it was when you finally got to the boss, he fucking laid down, except on Dreamcast, I think it was, where he was actually up and awake. So you're just like, great, I have to do this fucking hard boss at this low level, protecting this asshole who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. But some of those are actually, was that the only one? No, there was a bunch of other ones in Phantasy Star Online where you had to protect someone like that. What's her called? That girl who wanted to lose weight to fit in her wedding dress and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, Phoenix Star Online has some very, very interesting, irritating escort quests. There was an NES game, I remember, called Mickey Mousecapades. And in it, you controlled Mickey, but for no reason at all. Minnie was always following you. Kind of like Tails, but even dumber than Tails' normal AI. And here's the problem. If she ever died, you also died. So if you jumped over a large gap and she didn't jump properly, you land, she falls into the water, now you're dead. You just die.
Was she important to the end of the game or the end of the level?
If she was not in the game, none of the game would have changed. She was there purely to be an additional hurdle between you and getting to the end of the level.
That sounds horrible.
So they shoehorned an escort in to add replayability, I guess. It was irritating. You know, Bastion had a similar event to escort quests where you... I'll keep this as spoiler-free as possible, but you get companions, and in one event, you walk into a battle in progress. And I won't say any more other than that there can be permanent repercussions to that particular event. And there is sad.
Aww.
Escorts. Poor escorts.
It's okay.
No,
it's not. You let them die.
It's not. Oh, God. Fuck escort.
Richie, sorry. You were saying?
I said it's not. Fuck escort.
I'm still saying that an escort quest, if you design a whole game around it, you can get something good. What about that Ico game? That was basically an escort quest, right?
Yeah, let's talk about Ico for a minute.
Yes.
I managed to play that for all of about half an hour and said, fuck this. You want to talk about poorly coded AI? At the end, I was like, fuck, take her. I don't care anymore. Just fucking take her.
Are you totally going to back up that statement? Like you've totally backed up your other claims this podcast?
What do you mean?
Like, it's bad. Her AI is terrible. You wanna elaborate?
Well, actually, it's a lot like was said about Catherine. Ultimately, she would not follow the directions that she was given. And that one, you had to basically give her directions. Follow me, stay here. And, I mean, if she stayed in the same place for a while, somebody would come and take her. If you ever played Resident Evil 4, they did something very similar for the escort, where you had to protect the person, but you also had to get, you know, shit done. And if you took too long or didn't protect them for long enough, the person would come along and take them away. Granted, the whole game was based around you escorting her from place to place, but she didn't listen. You tell her to get up the ladder, she'd go and pick flowers. You tell her to stay here, all of a sudden she's falling down that cliff. She was a very poorly implemented AI, I found. Backed up enough for you there, Chico?
Yep. There's first time for everything. You're still coming in bubbly, by the way.
One mission, there was also an extra button that you never used in the game ever. Until this mission, that you could give her orders to stay and come. She didn't listen to those either. He is a fucking jerk. That's it. Fuck her. Fuck him. Hello?
Hi.
It got deadly silent. Fuck him for her thing.
So, let's go back to some of the things we left out. Dave, you're still coming in bubbly, but we can kind of understand what you're saying. So, what is it you were going to bring up earlier?
Wing Commander.
Yes, go on.
Well, just how the Wing Commander series was a fantastic game that started on the PC, but how its movie was so badly done. I mean, you had very poor characters, you had a storyline that, quite frankly, was written by a four-year-old. It just... Whoever actually wrote the movie script obviously didn't pay too much attention to anything other than a cover of a game. I know you've seen it, Carlos. So you have some things to say about it as well.
That was a shitty fucking movie, but I think you're missing why it was shitty. It wasn't shitty because it wasn't exactly like the games. It was shitty.
Never said that.
Because it was shitty because you totally said that. Shut up. It was shitty because it was shitty. Like, it was badly written. There were decisions made by the various military forces in that film that were wholly nonsensical. Real people would not make these decisions, and they would have led to a completely different outcome for the war. And Freddie Prinze Jr. was in it, which kind of just seals up the whole package. They definitely were better than Star Wars Episode II, though. And by they, I mean Wing Commander, the movie.
Yeah, don't know if I agree with you on that.
So what about Episode 2 that you enjoy? I liked the completely flat, unbelievable romance in a film that was 90% about that romance. That was my favorite part.
Romance in Episode 2 is still a better love story than Twilight.
It is. It is a better love story than Twilight. This is true.
That's pretty bad, anus actually.
On the toilet is a better love story than Twilight, because at least my anus and that toilet are sharing a passion of sorts.
Your ass pooping is not sharing a passion.
It's sharing a passion. I'm there. I know it.
That was God. The scariest laugh, because it was like
your bubbly mic
shit.
Turned that into a demon laugh. It was seriously like, oh, bloop, 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 bloop. It was the stupidest shit in the world.
Oh.
Yes. Kiki, have you thought of the thing you were thinking of this whole time?
No, and I bet you I'm going to think of it in 20 minutes.
Gotcha. So, how much better would Halo 4 be if Master Chief had to get Baby Mario to his little brother? Go on.
How much?
The flood would be everywhere. Do you realize that fucking having this little baby on your back?
Blood babies!
Blood babies?
Blood babies. Even
well,
worse.
You do have a shield, though, so maybe it's not too bad. Some sort of invisible shield.
Yeah,
no, actually, that's worse because
shield.
Then Baby Mario could be sniped.
He can be sniped, and man,
so,
there are a lot of people that would pay a lot of money to see Baby Mario sniped in the face when he's crying.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I figured if my mic's gotta be so screwed up because of Skype or something, I might as well make it as creepy as fucking possible.
Yeah, thanks.
That's awesome.
Now he's clear.
Yeah, now he's clear. He's trying to be creepy, so now all we hear is Dave's orgasmic moans. Well, friends, have we completed a successful roundtable?
Suppose we have.
Yes.
Wow, that was totally unenthusiastic there, Zeke.
Yeah, right? Did you not want to talk with us then? Like,
fucking
Jesus.
Round table.
I guess it was fine.
I suppose if we had to do a round table, this would be one.
Okay, fine. Yes, I completed a round table!
Better. All right, then. This has been Carlos.
And Ben.
Oh my god.
Oh god. All right, we're going to head over to Dave's now and perform CPR and then eat chips. So for
Jesus.
Our audience, these might come out less frequently because schedules, full-time work, editing, all that fun stuff. But we intend to continue doing it. Stay tuned for next time, and thank you for listening. Farewell!
Bye.
Hey.
Wah, wah, wah.